In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. The Lord was not pleased with the northern kingdom called Israel because they worshiped Baal, or Baal, and Asherah, the fertility gods. Now, we saw that there's going to be a match, and Elijah said, if God is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. I'm looking at the 18th chapter, the 26th verse. O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice. There was no answer. They leapt about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud. Surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. Then they cried loud, and as their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until blood gushed out over them. At midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. You know why? Because Baal is not God. The person you go to get your hands read is not God. She says, God has given me a gift, yeah. The gift is from the God of this world, the hell. Madame Fufu needs to be renounced in the name of Jesus. But there was no voice, no answer, no response, because they had no experience of power. Then Elijah said to all the people, come closer to me. And all the people came closer to Elijah. First he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. Jacob was named, changed to Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next, he put the wood in order to cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. He said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. Again he said, do it a third time. He has permission from God to do this. Oh yes, he just doesn't act on his own will. He has permission from God. Do it a third time. And they did it a third time, so that the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Here it is. He's done all these things at the bidding of the Lord. Oh, yes. What is the Lord calling you to do today? Not only me, but you. You've got to do it. Hard, harden not your hearts as they did in the desert. Harden not your hearts. The scripture says, for 40 years I endured that generation. There are people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. What is God asking you to do today? First of all, to give your life to Jesus. Second of all, he'll give you something that you need to do. Answer me, O Lord, Elijah said. Answer me so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." Then they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi Kishon and killed them there. God was not pleased with Israel, the northern kingdom. Why? Because Ahab and Jezebel welcomed false gods into the land. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What false god do we have? Power. You see, when there's something going wrong, somebody's always vying for power and money. Those are the two things people vie for. Power and money. Oh, yes. And yet the Lord does not call us to vie for power or money. He tells us that we should be the least of the least and serve the people that are broken. Oh, yes. The least of the least, servants of the Lord. I continue. Verse 41, chapter 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain." So Ahab went up and ate and drank. And Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. There he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea," the Mediterranean Sea. He went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Then he said, "Go again seven times." At the seventh time he said, "Look, a little cloud, no bigger than a person's hand, is rising." A little cloud. What does that have to do with "there is no rain"? "Look, a little cloud, no bigger than a person's hand, is rising out of the sea." Then he said, "Go say to Ahab, harness your chariots and go down before the rain stops you." In a little while the heavens grew black, and the clouds and wind. There was a heavy rain. Ahab rode off and went to Jezreel. By the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran in front of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them this time tomorrow." This is a threat. Elijah called down the fire, and the sacrifice was burnt, and the water was licked up. Now, Jezebel tells Elijah, "I want to kill you. I want to kill you." What do you think Elijah is going to do? Let's see. Then he was afraid. Elijah was afraid. Fear is useless. All we need to do is to trust Jesus. Fear is useless. All we need to do is to trust Jesus. Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah. He left this servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life away, for I am no better than my ancestors. He's letting a woman freak him out. She was a witch, that's for sure. But you know what? Elijah was exhausted from the miracle. Oh, yes. You know, we know Jesus does the miracle, but he does it through people. And when I pray with people and preach, I'm exhausted afterwards. Why? Because God has worked through me by the grace of God. Now, Elijah is tired. He's absolutely out of the Holy Spirit. And then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. He's depressed. Suddenly, an angel touched Elijah and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and he went in strength of the 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. God was not calling Elijah to do another great work. What was the experience? An angel food cake is the experience. He needed something to eat. I would love to taste that angel food cake. We take the Eucharist. Hallelujah. Better than the angel food cake. Every day we offer the Mass. Every day we take the Eucharist by the grace of the living God. At that time and place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of silence, a breeze. Then Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. I tell you, we need to be silent in the presence of God. Not always telling him what we need. We need to be silent in the presence of God. That's when the Holy Spirit came. to Elijah. Let's continue. Then there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nim, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, able to be a prophet in your place." It means that Elijah's going to die, and Elisha's going to take his place. "Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every month that he has not kissed him." So he set out from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Oh, yes. Same thing. Jesus says, don't go home to your father and mother. You're going to proclaim the kingdom of God, and I have given you authority over the demons, and you shall lay hands upon the sick, and they're going to be healed. Don't go back to your father and mother. Follow me. Chapter 20? No, not chapter 20. Chapter 21. Later, the following events took place. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you the value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral inheritance." Ahab went home, presented, and looked sullen because of what Naboth had said. Jezreel had said to him, for he had said, "I will not give you my ancestral inheritance." He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. He's the king, acting like a five-year-old. "Oh, Naboth won't let me have his vegetable garden. Oh, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm sad." His wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you depressed that you will not eat?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money. And I will give you another vineyard for it. But he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. His wife Jezebel said, do you now govern Israel? Get up and eat. Eat some food and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who lived in Naboth in the city. She wrote the letters, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly. Seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring a charge against him, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. It's not right. He didn't curse God. He just wanted to keep his garden. It was given to him by his father. But what does Jezebel do? She seeks the blood of Naboth. And Ahab says that's okay. You do not kill God's chosen one. You do not kill the chosen one. You do not lay hands on the chosen one. The Lord says, this is my anointed. Touch not him. Then take him out and stone him to death. The men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the assembly. The two scoundrels came in and sat opposite him, and the scoundrels brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of all the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they went to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned. He is dead. I tell you, it's all about money and power. Land, money, and power. He killed Naboth. It's sick. It's sick. Again, people vie for money, power, and land. I remember someone at Holy Rosary had left the church, the house that they belonged in. Their relatives at her near death had her change the will to go to them. Yeah, that's sick. That's sick. Naboth cursed God and the king, so they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned. He is dead. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, go take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab set out to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Isn't it sad that a king wants this land and he'll do anything to get it? That's Jezebel. She's evil. Sometimes there's a Jezebel spirit in people. Oh, yes. And it has to be exercised. What do they want? Control. Control. I'm going to tell you something. I am not in control, and neither are you. I give God the controls because he touches the people. I do not touch the people, but he touches the people. God has my control. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit, July 25 to 31 at Crown Plaza in Woburn. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit, July 25th to the 31st at the Crown Plaza in Woburn. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.